Our teaching on our subject, again, we're looking at the John's letters to the churches, and we're specifically looking at certain statements that John made in his letters. We began last week talking about the areas of joy, because John said in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 4, he said, "These things we write to you that your joy may be full." And so John's intent was, and really he's dealing in correction in the church, but really one of the things that we need to understand is that, you know, false doctrine and stuff may seem to make people happy for a time, you know, because they'll tell people things that make, oh, everything's okay, everything's rosy, when it's not, or it leads people in things that are not true. I mean, eventually it's going to rob your joy, because things in life ain't going to work out. I mean, if we went over, we looked at the church at Corinth and some things, and where Paul dealt with them concerning their communion services, and in other words, dealing with their fellowship with God and their fellowship with one another, because the directions they were going was causing them some real problems. He said that many of them were weak and sick and died prematurely because of they're in error. And so error, you know, sometimes it seems is just like the people going along and teaching that 1 John 1:9, you know, and that's just not, it's for the world and not for the church. We don't have to repent. That might sound nice at the time, but when the devil gets into your middle of your life and's messing things up, it ain't no fun. It'll definitely steal your joy. So the whole turn, he is bringing correction to the church. He's trying to show, because if people follow the word, they can maintain their joy. And that's one of the things, because I don't care whether how good of a person you are, or how you do everything right. We're living in a world where things do go wrong. Things happen and go wrong. And how we maintain ourselves through there is hugely important. You know, especially, I mean, if you're going through, people going through bad times. I mean, if we look at today in our nation, what are we going to do? I mean, we can sit and just focus on all the problems and stuff that are going on, and I'll tell you, you'll live a miserable life. If you're focused on those things and those things dominate you. God's plan is, no matter what we're going through, is we can maintain a joy. And we talked about this joy is not a natural joy. It's not tied to the natural circumstances. The joy is a spiritual force. And this is the wonderful thing about this joy being a spiritual force. It is a spiritual force that we hook up to. It's because of the power of God in us. It works because of the Spirit in us, because of our new birth and the Holy Ghost working in us. This joy, this spiritual force, it is more powerful, and it can be sustained. It can be kept. It isn't something that is like with the world, and the world's thinking is the world. They have to deal with all the circumstances, and we talked about, you know, from the standpoint of happiness is an inconsistent thing, because it's based on whatever's going around at the time. Well, you know, and I know from living there, I've been in that place, I've tried to live there, and it's no fun, because when things are going good, you're happy, and things are going bad, you ain't happy. And I don't know, sometimes in life it seems like more bad is happening than good, and you have to, man, how do you sustain yourself? And you do this really through the joy of the Lord. So joy centers on really is from the standpoint in heaven, because it's not earthly. Happiness centers on earthly situations. And joy comes from within. And where we're dealing with happiness is something that's outside stimulation. Now, there's nothing the matter with, you know, understand, there's nothing wrong. Situations are good. There's nothing wrong with being happy about a good situation. But you can't let that be your sustaining force, because if the situation changes, then you're back to the other way. You know, we're heading back and forth. So, you know, it's nothing bad. I mean, you're not weird if you enjoy something good happening. That's you know, I hope we have sense enough. But what we're dealing with really is from this day, and it's being sustained, because they're in life. Circumstances can't be controlled all the time. You can't control circumstances. And that doesn't mean, you know, that we can turn around. One thing is, I learned about my life is over time I realized that I did cause a number of things that were my own problems that I caused. I don't want to do that. But if you don't learn to walk in this joy, sometimes you can't overcome the problems that you cause, because you get into condemnation and everything else over, because you missed it and, you know, things. And really, is maintaining this joy is such an important thing in our Christian walk. So joy, this joy is independent of the outside circumstances. And where happiness is, you're going to have to continue in the favorable circumstances to maintain this thing. We had used a scripture, one of the scriptures was from 1 Peter 1:8. I'll just read it. It says, who having not seen, speaking of Christ, whom have we have not seen, it said, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We started to teach concerning joy and faith. And we were talking about having faith in God. If you want to maintain your joy, the way we do it is by continually believing the Word of God, which does not seem, you know, it's like we're believing in this Lord Jesus Christ whom we don't see. We believe He's real, is maintaining that fact. You know, one of the things that I was meditating on some things this morning is, you know, because of looking where people and where we miss it at. I think most of the time people don't miss it on big things, they miss it on little things. But those little things accumulate, and people don't realize the importance of revelations that seem simple, but that are not simple at all. And if we learn to just believe some of these simple truths from the Word of God and maintain our faith in them, they help us immensely in overcoming. You know, sometimes people need a, you know, they're sitting down trying to overcome in a circumstance, and they're trying to really, you know, they have 47 scriptures they're trying to stand on and this and that. Many times when I'm going through a problem, there's one or two scriptures I stand on. You know, that's a certain basic truths, and I just stand on them. You know, just like, you know, people need a whole bunch of scriptures. You know, like to me, the revelation over the years that I have gotten meditating just on the 23rd Psalm. You know, the 23rd Psalm's gotten me through a lot of stuff already. Just, you know, sit down and just, you know, most people can quote it that ain't even saved because they've heard it so many times in funerals and things. But they've always mostly heard it out of context. But the whole thing, if you know what it means, that Psalm, I mean, just has helped me through things at times, man, going through things. And I'll just sit and meditate a little bit on that Psalm, and I think, my God, you know, hey, I'm going to be all right. It's okay. I'm getting through this thing. I'm overcoming in this one. And they help you. And believing in the one we do not see. You know, many people have never really, I don't think, gotten close enough into the Word of God that they, you know, they believe in Jesus from the standpoint they got born again. But really having a true belief in the one that they do not see, they don't really have a strong belief in that. Jesus is alive. He's, you know, He's real. We believe in Him. He's Lord. He's our Savior. And getting over, getting sound in those areas, because that is the foundation of that we're born again. I mean, if you lose and get a weakness in faith in Jesus Christ Himself, you know, like people will get over sometimes, and man, where is God? Well, that means they've lost. They've unhooked from a faith standpoint. I mean, they're not born again, but they've unhooked their faith. And man, that's, if you think God left you, what chance you got? If God ain't on your side, you're in trouble. And so, when James went and said, and James, he told his brother, he said, count it all joy when you fall fall into various trials. Well, so to count it all joy, we definitely can't be talking about a consistency in natural circumstances. He said when you face trials or we're into facing things like that, we're supposed to count it joy. And so we dealt in those areas. So joy, this joy he's talking about is constant, where, you know, the inconsistency of this happiness that people are trying to have. And people go to all kinds of extents to try to be happy. They're trying to do things. And people today, I see people over, you know, some people do try to do it in different ways. Some people try to be happy, you know, through, you know, just having what they call fun all the time, you know, or doing it where you get people in. That's why people get over into the drug things and everything. They're trying to have fun. They're trying to have happy. Some people, you know, they try to find happiness just maybe through marriage. They marry somebody they think's going to keep them happy. Well, what if the person don't? What do you do? Well, I found this out. Wanda can't keep Ed happy. There's nothing wrong with Wanda. I mean, from that, there's nothing wrong with her. That's not her job to keep Ed happy. It's not her job. I mean, dear God, if that was the case, then we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need to have Jesus and joy. It's nobody's job to keep another person happy. I mean, wow, that's a big job. You're going to live a pretty miserable life trying to run around and keep everybody happy. So we're not going there, folks. We can't do it. You know, I mean, just think about Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He couldn't keep him happy. So it's good chance, no matter how good you're, and so that's what, never judge yourself on the basis of what people are saying and doing. You measure yourself to the Word of God. That's why Apostle Paul, when he made the statement, he said, he's not judged by no man. In other words, he doesn't judge whether he's doing right or wrong based on what man think about it. It's, you know, he measures himself to the Word of God. You measure yourself the Word. You can be walking, doing exactly what's right and have everybody against you. You can do that. I mean, I think all of us at some time or other in life have had people against us because we were doing what was right. They didn't like it. They wanted us to do something else. And so that's why you have to be careful how you measure yourself or what you, the situation you put yourself into is one of the things that I've learned over time is if I, you know, I exalt the Word by following it, I can maintain my joy even if everybody isn't happy about it. But I can maintain mine, but they're not maintaining theirs because if they're, you know, they think it ought to be another way, they're going to be upset. And but to follow the Word, and so you can maintain your joy, and we want to continually do that. Is continually following it is one of the things, you know, from a scripture standpoint, because there's reasons that we have fullness of joy. From a scriptural standpoint, there's some areas that we need to learn to stand in if we want to maintain joy. One of the just simple things, like, you know, Romans 6:14 says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." You know, those are things like I would recommend anybody to meditate on that and think about that. Because, you know, how many times you get people, even, okay, as a believer, we miss the mark. That's what sin is. It's missing the mark. In other words, God set a standard and we miss it. Well, if we don't realize and understand that sin doesn't have dominion over you, you're not under law, but you're under grace, you could end up in terrible condemnation and end up messed up because really judge yourself improperly. Don't judge yourself right on a thing. You know, I've over the years, I've watched people who have missed the mark in areas and they get into condemnation on it, and it just leads them into further and further problems. And after a while, you know, in life, they're basically living a depressed, you know, about the things that are going on. You don't want to go there. It's the fact of maintaining joy is the fact to know that sin doesn't have dominion over you, that you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Under the law, you had to do everything right to be blessed. Whoa, that's a high standard. Well, the whole thing of it is we couldn't meet that standard, and that's why God sent Jesus Christ. The man couldn't meet the standard. Through Jesus Christ, in other words, under the grace of God, you and I don't have a righteousness based upon our works. That's why you can approach God. Sin doesn't have dominion over you. If you miss the mark, you can confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can go boldly to the throne of grace if you've missed it. And what the Bible says, there's grace to help in time of need. In other words, there's ability of God that'll help you out of the situation. So you can maintain your joy. And if you don't believe these things, what happens is people lose their joy. You know, and that's one of the things that it seems such like a simple thing. It's like a person looks at it and says, well, you know, they're looking for some great scripture that says a certain thing that's just going to make me happy. This is one of the things is my, this is, man, sin don't have dominion over me. You know, it's one of the things if you could get Christians to begin to speak the right things. With dealing with people over the years, I find it many times of like dealing with an individual, lots of times the reason they're trapped in an area is I'll ask them some questions and get them to start talking. And the whole point of it is to get to find out what they're believing. And you get Christians who have blown it a number of times. And what they're confessing and what they're really talking about, what they're believing, they have great faith in their sin and their ability to miss it. They've never come over to the areas to begin to believe sin doesn't have dominion over me. What they're doing is what they see happening in their life, they begin to confess what they see. Sin's dominating me. Look what I'm doing wrong. Look how I'm missing it. The way to get out of sin is not focusing on sin. It's to focus on righteousness. It's going over and saying, you know, God said this about me, that sin won't have dominion over me. I'm not under the law. Under the law, sin had dominion over man under law. It did. I mean, sin was always magnified. The law magnified sin. The Bible says so. It magnified, it made sin look terrible. And what it did is when you did it, it made you look terrible. But its purpose was, the law's purpose was not to destroy you. God wanted the man to understand under the law that he needed a Savior. He needed deliverance that he could not get himself. And so God had no intent through Jesus Christ to keep man looking at his sin. He wanted man to look to his Savior. And the fact is, Jesus, under his great death, burial, and resurrection, taking the blood into the holies of holies, made an eternal redemption, where now sin no longer has dominion over mankind through Jesus Christ. And so get over into that fact and meditate on that fact. If you miss the mark, don't sit around and focus on missing the mark. Focus on the fact that the Bible says sin doesn't have dominion over you. I will guarantee you, you will get into the areas of grasping the revelation of sin not having dominion over you. And when you come down to tough decisions, it's amazing. You'll be amazed how many times that because believing the right thing will change the direction you'll go. Most people yield over to the areas of sin because they just see themselves, I just can't make it, I just can't do this, I just can't. Because they have not gotten over and seen sin no longer has dominion over you. I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace. Under grace, I can withstand sin. See, get yourself thinking in the right area, thinking properly in those areas. One of the great things is getting out from under, if you want to maintain joy, get out from under the guilt and condemnation. You want to live in a freedom from guilt and condemnation. Now, we need to know there's sin. If we do sin, we should have a guilt about that, you know. But you know what? You have to have guilt from a right standpoint. You know, there's a healthy guilt, there's an unhealthy guilt. You know, we sort of categorize today, and we have to watch it, because we put words like, this is a bad word, this is a good word, and this is that. And lots of times, certain words are not bad nor good. It depends on how we view it. You know, guilt, if you understand guilt properly, I'm guilty of doing something wrong, that correction concerning guilt could be a good thing for you. If you are going to live under guilt, or you're going to live under condemnation, that is unhealthy. That you can't maintain that, because I don't see how anybody could not end up in depression living under guilt. It's one thing to recognize that I've done wrong and the fact that I'm guilty. It's one thing, the Bible talks about our own heart condemning us. The condemnation of our own heart, we should not, and we don't want to, you never want to allow your heart. I don't believe your heart will tell you you did wrong. That's your conscience speaking to you. But your conscience should not lead you to the point to walk around feeling condemned all the time. That would be, that's sick. That's not good, because then your own heart would be leading you to death rather than a life. Now, if I miss the mark, my conscience will lead me to repentance. It will tell me, it will condemn me for doing what I did. It'll tell you, you did wrong, Ed. But it will lead me to the standpoint, you need to repent. It'll lead me toward righteousness. It's not going to lead, your born again heart's not going to lead you to walk around and keep saying, oh boy, you know, I just miss, I just can't get it right. It ain't going to lead you there. And I want us to go over to Romans to the 8th chapter, and I want us to read these words. And here is an area that I would encourage. Now, Romans 8, we know that it's used a lot in teaching and things, you know, for edification. But sometimes I don't think people really do get, and even sometimes from the teaching standpoint, people really get the revelation of what this thing is talking about for us as Christians. Because really it is it brings into a balance of where we can walk and we don't live under a condemnation and a guilt, because you can't go there and live under that and maintain joy. You just destroy joy. Now, in Romans 8, the first verse says, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want to say this, and I've talked about this before, but I want you to reiterate this. The last part of that verse is not actually in the writings. That was something added. If you go back into and look under the Greek and go back to the Greek, you will find that the oldest Greek writings of the New Testament, the oldest Greek letters, They did not have that last part in there. Now, let me say this. That does not mean that last part isn't true. It is a statement of fact because it's reiterated later down below in Scripture here. But I want you to, with them, now I think they made a mistake because, well, even the Lord one time took me to this and showed me this. And what he was showing me, I believe many times that the writers, that the translators had good intent on certain things that they did. I think their intent was good, but what they did wasn't the best. It wasn't right. Even though their intent was good. Have you ever done something in good intent, but you got a good intent out of it, but after you did it, it was like, well, you know, and I think there's no condemnation of these men. I believe they were trying to bring out a truth because he said, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But when we turn around and remove that, because what it does, it sort of throws a bit of a roadblock right in the middle, in the beginning of this statement. And it, what it does, it takes the power out of the rest of the statement of what's going to be said. Because understand, these are not, this is a letter written to a church. It's not, they didn't have numbers and verses and things. This is a letter, so there's statement being made by the Apostle Paul here. The Apostle Paul in chapter 7 really wrote what it was like to be dead in sin. He was under the law. He's a guy trying to do right and ends up doing wrong all the time. And when you do right and then you end up doing wrong, he's dealing with the error boy. You're in this condemnation standpoint. Your whole intent is to do right, but you keep blowing it. Now, in chapter 8, he goes, therefore, or because of what I just got done talking about, chapter 7, just all because, he said, therefore. Therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's just put period there and end it. Now, listen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. Those in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has made you free from the law of sin and death. See, through salvation, that's the law. You got born again through the law of the Spirit of life. You accepted Christ and got born again through the law of the Spirit of life. The law of sin and death only did one thing. Under the law, it killed men spiritually. When a person found out they were sinning, when you know under the law, they found out they were sinning, they're dead spiritually. And this is the intent. The intent is the fact, here's what happened when you got born again. When you got born again, the condemnation of sin is lifted off of you. So he said, for the law of the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus made me free in the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law was about following all these fleshly things, do all these fleshly stuff. It magnified the flesh. That's not where we're at in this thing. That's why to throw that flesh statement in there right in the beginning, that gets you away from what he's trying to tell you. He's not trying to make you flesh-minded. He wants you spirit-minded. That's what he's trying to do here. He's trying to give you spiritual statements that let you know who you really are. He said, for what the law couldn't do that was weak in the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. What did he do? He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, condemn sin in the flesh? He didn't condemn people. He condemned sin in the flesh by dominating sin. See, don't look at the fact that he put us in condemnation. Jesus didn't come in the world to condemn the world. He came to save it, the Bible says. So this could not be speaking a condemnation statement. This is a statement telling you and me what Jesus did. He condemned sin. He didn't condemn man. He condemned sin. Sin is under condemnation. He said, why did he do that? That the righteous requirements of the law might be filled in us. In us. In us. Why? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see what he said? See, when he made that statement, see, walking in the flesh, living in the flesh. Now, you can't please God living in the flesh. Walking in the flesh, you know, you don't want to live over in that area. But he's making this statement. through salvation, God condemns sin in the flesh concerning you and me. So why that the righteous requirements of the law might be filled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? He's making a statement. You guys ain't walking according to the flesh. You're walking according to the Spirit. He's not telling them, oh, well, you just fleshly things. Because if he is, he's preaching condemnation to these people, and he's not doing that here. That's not what he's doing them. He's not... He's trying to take them up a step, not take them down a step. He said, for those who live according to the flesh. Now, he told them they don't. Those who live according to the flesh, what do? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, think about this. Why are we here today? We're here today because, you know what? We've set our mind on spiritual things. So it does show a sign. We're not trying to live by the flesh, are we? You know, we're guys who Paul's preaching to. We're not walking over in the flesh. You know, that doesn't mean we never miss the mark. It's not what it's talking about. But we're not trying to think of how to walk in the flesh and how to live in the flesh. That's not us. We got born again and we're not trying to do that. That's not what we're trying to do. We're walking over in the Spirit. And this is what he's preaching these people. He's telling them, look, you guys are born again. You guys want to walk in the Spirit. You're not trying to walk in the flesh. The people in the world are walking in the flesh. Now, any Christian that wants and says and teaches, and we have people to do teaching, you can walk in the flesh. You don't have to repent. Man, that is craziness. Because what that's going to make you, that's going to make you fleshly minded, and your mind's going to be set on the things of the flesh. It's going to tell you, go ahead and live in the flesh, it don't matter. So what happened? I'm not going to try to think spiritual anymore, I'm going to try to think carnal. Well, see, that's not what he ain't preaching that one. He's preaching, see, he's telling these people, look, you guys are over here, you're saved. So you're not trying to live, the people who try to live according to the flesh, they set their minds on that. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He said, for to be what? Carnally minded. That's fleshly minded. The word carnal there used, they could have used the word flesh. They did before, but here they changed carnally. It says to be fleshly minded is death. But to spiritually minded, what? Is life and peace. So we find this out. There's one thing. You're going to have a hard time in life trying to maintain peace and think wrong. If you want to, you know, if you see yourself, and especially much of the church world is preached a sin consciousness. We're just never good enough. We never pray enough. We never do this enough. We make mistakes. You just, you know, it's always a reminder to us. And people live, it causes people to live on a low level. More sin conscious. More fleshly minded than spiritually minded. Instead of being reminded who they are in Christ, Paul's trying to tell these people who they really are spiritually. If you know who you are spiritually, you'll overcome in loads of things. You're going to overcome because you realize who the real you is and who the difference between your flesh and the real you. The real you is your spirit. It is not your flesh. Your flesh has wrong desires. And I'm going to tell you, your flesh, till the day either you die and they bury this thing, or till Jesus comes and we get the glorified body, this thing is going to be over in the area to want to follow things that please it. Now, that doesn't mean it has to dominate us, but that's its nature because it's dead in sin. Man's flesh died from the sin. That's why we need a glorified body. We need a glorified body because this body, even though the inner man's born again, the outer man's not, and the outer man is dead in sin. This outward flesh is dead in sin. The real you is a child of God, born again with the nature of God. The desire to follow God. The Holy Spirit lives inside your spirit. He indwells. He fellowships with your spirit. That's why coming in contact with it, that's the real you. When you die, the real you goes to heaven. The real you leaves the body, and the real you goes to heaven, and you don't get to heaven and say, you know, man, I really like that carnal. I want to be a carnal person. Your inner man doesn't want that. It has no intent for that. And so understand, this is what he's writing about here. He is trying to, in the beginning, it makes it sound like he's talking about Christians walking in the flesh and Christians living in the spirit. That's not his intent, even though he could say, look, Christians who live in the flesh, you know, they're in trouble. You know, they're going to have a problem. But that's not really the point he's trying to bring across here. The point he's trying to bring across here is to separate the Christian from the world to who you are and what the world is. the world follows the flesh. You don't do that. Your mind, if your mind would be set over like the world was, you're just in down, that'd be trouble. But your mind is what to set on spiritual things. That's what he's telling them here. That's why he told us the carnally mind is death, spiritually minded is life and peace. Because why? The carnal mind or the fleshly mind, the mind that thinks along the lines of the flesh, what it's tied to the world system. That's what it is. It thinks like the world thinks. It's that. That mind is enmity against God, or we use this term, it's an enemy of God. Our minds could be an enemy of what God wants to do. Not being, and I understand, I'm not talking about we have an intent to be an enemy of God. But if my thinking is different from what God thinks about what to do, I'm going to be working in opposition of God. I would be, if I follow that mind, if I follow that way, I would be following in opposition to what God's plan was or what God wants to do. He said, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. That mind. Now I want you to think about what the Bible says. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So it says we have. See, your born again spirit is not trying to oppose God. What we're dealing with is fleshly. With things of the flesh. He said, so then those who are in the flesh, what if I'm in the flesh, if I'm living by the flesh and the desires of the flesh, it said, I can't please God. So this is one thing you know. Living in the flesh, faith in, you don't have faith in God. You can't have faith in God because you can't please Him. Faith is what pleases God. So we know this. So he is separating here the difference between worldly people and godly people. People that are born again. Now, listen to what he says here in verse 9. And you'll understand it in its context of what he's writing. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. In the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Is he living in you? Right. So here's what he says about you. This is what Paul is saying to the Christian. You're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. See, most Christians are talking all the time about the flesh, being in the flesh. And Paul said you're not. Now, who you gonna agree with? If you want to become spiritual, you got to start agreeing with the Bible. I am not carnal, I'm spiritual, because God's living in me. If you believe those things, they will make you more conscious of spiritual things than of fleshly things. See, he said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, this I know from a fact from reading in Romans. Paul was did some correction on these people for things they were doing wrong. So they were doing things carnal, weren't they? They weren't doing things. But did he tell them they're carnal people? No, he told them, you guys are spiritual. You're spiritual. Understand this. Nobody who is not born again can be spiritual. Like when I was involved in sorcery and all this stuff, that wasn't nothing spiritual. Sorcery, all the things that the devil uses to try to direct man is through the flesh. He tries to get us to follow the flesh. That's what he wants to do. If you go over into, like, you know, sorcery, you go into witchcraft, all that, all they got potions. You mix these natural things. You do this natural stuff. You do this stuff. This is what'll, you know, do these different things. It is all fleshly, carnal. That's where it's at. It's all dealing with that kind of stuff. They are not spiritual. The Bible never indicates that a person who follows Satan is spiritual. Never. It always leads them as being a carnal person. These are works of the flesh. One of the works of the flesh stated in the New Testament is witchcraft. It's a work of the flesh. It's men through the natural, in their flesh, trying to do spiritual things. And all it does is lead them to more sin and more messed up. Then he says this, the end of verse 9, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. This is one of the reasons why you know you're saved. You have the witness of the Spirit in you because the Spirit's in you. See, you're born again, you're spiritual. See, start talking about yourself being spiritual and not carnal. Learn it up. I'm spiritual, I'm not carnal. Why? Well, didn't the Scripture tell us? I'm not lying. The Scripture said it. If Paul said it's spiritual, I'm going to... Look, if Paul wrote and said, accept Jesus Christ, what you had to do, you had to believe, you know, that God raised Jesus from the dead. You confess to the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. It said you'd be saved. True or correct? It's right, isn't it? Well, he said that. We've taken that as the truth. Did he lie when he said this? Is this maybe we ought to be? No, this is as true as that was. As true as it was is what you do to get born again, and you did. This statement about you is the truth. You are now spiritual. You are not fleshly. Before you were saved, you could be nothing but fleshly. That's all you could ever be. You are not fleshly. And so here's one of the things, this will help you from the condemnation standpoint, because if you miss the mark, this is why you can go boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Why? Because you're not fleshly, you're spiritual. You can go receive grace from God. Why? Because you're no longer fleshly, you're spiritual. You're allowed to do that. So the things of the Spirit, you're allowed to have and you're allowed to do. So walk in the light of those things. Walk in the light of those truths that he says here. And you go on, like this way, as you go on and read these things and you start seeing, because he tells them, said, and if Christ's in you, he said the body is dead because of sin. And okay, the body's dead because of sin. He says it's dead. You know what to start to do? Start to treat your flesh like it's dead. People talk about their flesh having too much power. Oh man, I just can't this and I just, they really magnify the flesh. Nah, talk about it being dead. This stupid thing's dead. He said, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Your Spirit is life working in you. The Spirit of God in your spirit, they jointly work life in you. Now, here's what he says. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to the mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. You know, you can allow the Spirit of Christ in you to bring life to your mortal body so your mortal body don't dominate you. Now, we preach this a lot from the areas of sickness and disease. That's correct. That's one area where the nature of sin through the law of sin and death tries to work sickness in your body. But that's also in the areas of yielding to sin. Your body can actually be affected by the Holy Ghost in you where it won't dominate you concerning sin. See, but if you think wrong about it, if your thoughts are that, oh man, I hear Christians talk about trying to get in the Spirit. You know, it says, I'm in the Spirit. Paul said, you're in the Spirit. I am in the Spirit. Now, I may need to contact things in the Spirit, but I am in the Spirit. If you start believing right, then it will get you operating over right. See, in verse 12, Paul made this statement. Then he says, therefore, brethren, or because of these statements I just made, because of verse 1 through verse 11, he's saying this, therefore, because of this statement I just made to you, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? Through the Spirit. That's why when Paul wrote to the church at Colossians and he said to them, why are you guys trying to be spiritual? And maybe I ought to just go read it. And we've read it before, but let's go read it again, because when you tie these things together, they'll help you understand about how we've tried to deal with problems. We ain't done well at it. Listen what Paul in Colossians, the second chapter, and in verse 20, he says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of this world. Now, think about it. He said, you died with Christ. Didn't you die with Christ? When you're born again, the Bible says, you know, you died with Christ. You were raised with him. So, in other words, if you, now he says this. Now, if you died with Christ, if you did that, well, through faith in Christ, we did that. It's as if we died to sin. It's as if we were raised to righteousness. That's what faith did to us. God accounts to you as if you died for your sin and you paid the penalty. In Christ Jesus, what he did for us is just as if we did it. It's accounted to us as if we actually did it ourselves. That's what faith did. Isn't that amazing? Faith counts it. You know, the devil will come to you and say, boy, you don't deserve it. Say, I'm sorry. I died for my sin. God said so. So that's the end on that one. But he said, therefore, you died. Why? We died. You're already dead to the basic principles of the world. The basic principles of the world, sin and death, you died to that when you were born again. You're dead to that. He said, the basic principle of the world. He said, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Now, what regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. Oh, you can't eat this, you don't do that. He said, what? Now listen, false humility and neglect of the body. Oh yeah, the more I treat, if I treat myself, you know, don't let myself have any fun. Don't let my, you know. Oh man, I was born and raised under that junk, man. I'll tell you what, lived under that, man. Oh man, you know, don't watch the clothing you wear, you know, don't touch, you know, you can't have too bright of colors, you know, you can't have quite, you know, you can't ever drive the Corvette. You can only drive the old, you know, DeSoto that's painted black. This is the kind of stuff he's dealing with. He said, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. They appear to be smart in self-imposed regulations. False humility, neglect of the body, but of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. He said they have no value. And I can prove it through that, as I grew up around those people. And you know, they tried their best to do best, but you know what? They just sinned and did stuff. They missed the mark so many times on things. They couldn't keep their temper under control. They couldn't deal with their stuff. They had their problems. Why? You can't bring the flesh under control through religious principles. There's only one way to defeat the flesh, and that is through the Spirit. That's the only way it can be done. It can't be done. This is why Paul went on. Chapter 3 is not a change in subject. I just wish they would have never started another chapter, because everybody takes this off into something else. This ties directly to what he said. He said, if then you were raised with Christ. Now he said you're dead, you died with Christ. Now hear what he says. You're raised with Christ? Okay. You have been raised with him. The Bible says so. Verse 3, you've been raised with Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So what do? You're looking for spiritual things. You're looking at the heavenly rather than the earthly. What do? Set your mind on the things, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Quit setting your mind on your flesh. Trying to control your flesh all the time. Trying to control it through the natural things. He said, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And he goes on. So fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, he said, covetousness, which is idolatry. He said, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. That's not it. We ain't the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God, he said, you put to death these things. How do you put them to death? By looking above, not looking at, not by sitting around and looking at fornication, looking at uncleanness, looking at passions. If you look at the earthly things concerning desires of the flesh, see, we were preached all the time in church. They preached about, oh, boy, you know, the fornicator, the idolater, the blah. You know, they talk sin all the time, don't they? They're always preaching to the saints like they were sinners. You're not sinners. How do I overcome things in the flesh? I overcome things in the flesh by looking in the Spirit. I am spiritual. You're spiritual. You're not going to overcome bring your flesh under control by continually looking at fleshly things and trying to use rules and regulations to keep your flesh under. One of the things that really, with spirituality, it's like Kenneth Hagin made the statement. He said, he's speaking alcohol. He said, I can drink as much as I want. He said, I don't want to. In other words, He came to a place spiritually of understanding. His flesh was under control. He's not trying to, thou shalt not drink, to try to stay away from drinking. He said, I don't have the desire. In other words, he doesn't have that desire even dominates in his flesh. He don't want to do it. Think about that. See, he's not fighting and trying to a rule regulation to keep him from doing something. You know, he's not trying to do that. The most amazing thing, I was a sinner when I quit smoking. And you know what? My flesh still, even after all the time of not smoking, my flesh, I always had to keep it from smoking. It's an amazing thing. I found this out. When I got born again, I had no more desire to smoke. See, it required, because when I was a carnal person, my flesh was in rule. And my flesh was allowed to get over there and smoke and do things. And it would always want to gravitate to that. That desire could never change because my inner man wasn't changed. It had the desire of sin. It had the desire of wrong. And I had let my flesh do those things, so those cravings in your flesh want to move that way. When I got saved, that left. I didn't want to do that anymore. See, many times you get Christians, they'll think they're messed up somehow spiritually. And what it is inside of them, they're doing something in their flesh, but they're having the problem because they don't want to do that. There's nothing wrong with them. See, their inner man saying, I want to do this. But they don't understand because their lack of knowledge, the flesh is dominating. And they're looking over the side of the thing, oh man, my flesh is over here doing this. They don't understand that if they would start to yield and start to yield over the area of the spirit, they could kill that desire in the flesh. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to do it just like they did when they were a sinner. I'm just trying to stay away from this. That's why, you know, as I realize, you know, like AA and them, they want to do right by people. But I'm going to tell you what they're trying to do is don't touch, don't taste. I'm going to tell you, I have been around people. And what they do, for the rest of their life, they're trying to stay away from it. For the rest of their life, they have to calling people, go to meetings, just to try to keep you from doing, keeping your flesh from dominating you, and don't realize that is not, they're trying through the natural to do what requires something spiritual. If that person's, they're trying to say, well, believe in a higher power. Number one, get born again. Now, a sinner, that's the best they're going to get. Go to AA. Because if the nature of the individual doesn't change, they don't become spiritual. The power to overcome it, to change the desire, is to be spiritual. It's not to be carnal. That's why you don't want to be carnally minded. Carnally minded leads you away from your spirituality. The power to overcome in the flesh is done through the spirit. Your spirit's a powerful thing. Your human spirit, that's why is not just believe these things, say these things about yourself. Speak these things. Call yourself spiritual. I'm spiritual. I'm not carnal. I'm not dominated by the flesh. I'm dominated by my own human spirit, born again. And the Holy Ghost is living in me. It's through the power of the Spirit I'm overcoming. Saying the right things, speaking the right things will help you in this area. You know, back over in Romans 8 again, if we go back over there, it will help you further to understand. In verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Now listen, here's verse 14. It'll help you understand what he's saying. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. See, your inner man, led by the Spirit. You're walking by the inner instead of the outer. This is what separates us from the world. We're led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We're led by the Spirit. The world has no choice. They're going to be led by the flesh because their inner man's dead in sin. The flesh will dominate. That is the way it is. The flesh is going to dominate. You and I, we're not in that condition. It says you're spiritual. The Spirit of God is in you. It says, therefore, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, you can be led by the Spirit of God. You can because you're born again. You're a son of God. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the son of God. For why? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffered with him, that we may also be glorified together. If indeed we suffer with him, and we do, you know, from a standpoint, and he's not talking, you can't suffer with Christ. You can't, you don't go get crucified. You don't go get nailed. You know, in other words, we suffer with him. What is the suffering of Christ? Christ didn't let his flesh dominate. You know, there is a suffering not to let your flesh do what it wants. There is a thing your flesh wants to do. There is a suffering. And what he's talking about, he says, and if children, he said, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. And folks, that's what we are. We're going through the thing. We got saved where our intent is to walk right and to do right. And we're children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. That's what we are. And so living like that. So we want to live. And so I believe if you read that right in its context, you understand those things. You will not live under the guilt and condemnation as the world will live under concerning sin. The world's going to live under that. That is not the intent for us. God doesn't want you to live under a thing where you're condemned. There is not any condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. We're not people of the flesh, we're people of the Spirit. If we miss the mark, we can confess our sin and He's faithful and just to forgive us. Our intent is not to live a sinful life. Your inner man is not going to cooperate with you on that. He won't cooperate with you. I never found a Christian yet who get over and starts living in the flesh and lives right is a happy person. Did you ever meet one? Oh, they'll put on some things for a time and stuff, but they're not happy people. They're not. Their basis, they're not happy. You ask them about, oh, yeah, I know I'm doing, I know I shouldn't do this, and I know I shouldn't, and I know this is wrong. But, you know, God forgives me, and they ain't really happy about this thing at all. I know. How could you know that you're doing wrong and just walk on from it and smile and be happy? They might put a front on, but I'll tell you what, they have to crawl in bed at night when everything's silent. And they have to listen to their guilty conscience. I'm sorry, it don't work. It don't work. You can put on a front. You can go live. People are sometimes really good at that. But they'll never be a happy person. You can't do that. You can't maintain that. And that's why, you know, we're not. That's why is walking like, you know, you don't want to live under condemnation. Our spirits are designed by God. When you got born again, your spirit does not want to cooperate with sin. It doesn't want to. It doesn't want to do that. Your spirit doesn't want to cooperate with sin. It doesn't want to say, yeah, let's go ahead and do this thing. It's wrong. Ah, yahoo, I want to do that. That's your flesh you're hearing. Wow, that sounds good. Let's do that. Ah. But your inner man. It is one thing as judge considering why, because you'll get people who probably put you under religious bondage. They'll try to make you think you're sinning when you're not. If you don't follow all their rules, you know, the rules that they had, like when I was growing up, I mean, it was a sin to wear bright colored clothing. Well, there's no place in scripture tells you that. The Bible tells you to look at the flowers. We're supposed to be dressed as good as the flowers are. Well, I'm going to tell you what, my mama was a flower grower. She did all that and grew flowers. And she had all, you know, she didn't have no drab flowers. But, you know, people read those things. In other words, you got to watch because sin can put you into bondage, religion can put you into bondage to make you think you're sinning when you're not. So stay with the Word of God and walk in line with what the Word says. And this is why I wasn't going to teach as much over in this area, but I got just meditating on some things this morning. Is because I believe a lot of Christians live under the areas of guilt and condemnation and do not feel that they can overcome when the Bible says they have. You know, the Bible calls us overcomers. The Bible calls us these things is learning to begin to call yourself what the Bible says, because that's what will help you deal with it. This is, understand, this is not positive thinking like people use positive thinking or, you know, just, you know, talk positive, you know, think happy thoughts. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you're just thinking happy thoughts, you know, thinking good thoughts are good if you're believing right. But if you're messed up and you're believing, you can think as happy thoughts as you want, because you're going to end up doing what you're believing is. And it might lead you into a whole lot of trouble if you're believing wrong. And we're not talking about this. I'm talking about making confessions concerning what the Word says about you. What God's Word says to you needs to become a truth to you. It's true about you. Now, see, people will turn around and say, well, you know, you'll make the statement, you know, that, you know, say, you know, speaking of being an overcomer, the Bible tells us, you know, that we're more than conquerors. And you make that statement. Now, people might sit down and look and say, well, they sure don't look like a conqueror saying that. So they're just talking. It's number one of the biggest things is of overcoming is starting to say what the Scripture says about you overcoming. is number one, God is always going to do this. First of all, he's going to bring you hope. You can't be saying the wrong thing and keep yourself in hope. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's how you get into faith. You can't lose hope. You got to keep the word out in front of you. And say the right things about yourself. See yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. See yourself as being born again. If anything, I learned that from Kenneth Hagin about faith. Is, you know, a lot of people follow the faith message and it was just about getting things. Man, I want to tell you what, the faith thing is about getting a sound mind, man. Getting your mind over right where you can maintain your joy. You learn to speak the right things about yourself. Years ago, and I'll close with this example, you know, is I just got, when I was first born again, not long afterwards, I got over in the area because, you know, I'm missing the mark, you know, and you don't. I didn't have near the revelation I have today on some of these things. But, and I got over with things, and I'm just thinking, you know, I was looking, instead of looking at the word from the standpoint of things to help me, I was looking as if the word was criticizing me. I was looking if God was, you know, trying to use the word to, you know, well, you're just not spiritual enough. You're just not good enough. Well, over a period of time of letting those things eat at me, now, I'm walking around and standing in faith about things and that stuff. I know this inside. It ain't working. Why? Because I don't see how God could bless me because I'm messed up. And then you have preachers turn around and preach messages, and they take scriptures from the Old Testament. And your heart's always to do evil. You know, your heart's... you know, you get born again, and your heart's still all to do evil. See, people make those statements. I've heard Christian ministers preach that stuff to saints. You know, we're always fighting because our heart's always wanting to do wrong. My God, if your heart's... Gee, you got born again, your heart only wants to do wrong. This born again stuff ain't nothing. It's worthless. Man, Jesus didn't do a thing. But see, this is why these people only preach forgiveness of sin. That's all you got. Jesus forgave your sin, but you're still a sinner, saved by grace. You're just an old rotten scumbag, and you still are. You accepted Jesus, and you're still as much a scumbag as you were before you accepted. And now they don't say that, but that's what the impression they leave us by not saying these things. Well, you know, as a kid growing up, you have those. And I'm just a young Christian. And, you know, I'm thinking thoughts. I'm thinking stuff that isn't right. And finally, I get to the point of, you know, just sort of desperation of like, well, you know... You know, I could never live this thing right. I mean, what is wrong with me? But see, what I was doing is I let my unrenewed mind condemn me so much that it shut off my inner man. I couldn't hear my inner man. All I was hearing was what was going on in my mind. Now, my inner man wasn't doing that. And that's what turned around the thing is I was literally laying on the floor at 321 Canal Street in the bedroom, laying on the floor of the bedroom. Literally crying out to God. Literally crying out to God. God, you know, just, I'm looking at, man, God, I've just blown it. I've missed it and this and that. I'm going through, you know, this thing. And I'm telling God of all the stuff I've messed up. I've done all this. Because here's what happens. You get over in that area, and you know what? You ask God to forgive you, and you don't believe he did. Because, see, your mind's going through all this stuff about, yeah, but look what I did. See, you're thinking wrong, and you're over there, and I'm crying out. And all of a sudden, inside of me, now, it wasn't a still small voice. It wasn't my own spirit talking. It was the Holy Ghost speaking inside of me. And it was a louder voice. There's a difference between that still small voice of your own spirit and that still small, that voice of the Spirit, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, I heard these words, "Your heart is perfect before me." Well, the first thought that came to my mind, that was the devil. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if my heart was right. I'm serious. That's the first thought that came to my mind. So, I went back to I shut that off. You know, I didn't want the devil talking to me. I'm going to listen to my mind talking to me, which is condemning me, and I'm listening to the condemnation. Let me alone. And really, that's what was going on. I'll tell you what, I can look and laugh now. I was in distress. I was in literal distress. I mean, man. So all of a sudden, this voice in me again rises up, rose a little louder. I said, "Your heart's perfect before me." And second time, and that's the devil trying to make me feel all right, and I'm doing all this wrong. Oh, and I'm sitting there, I look back at it, and I think, oh my God. But you know, hey, it's terrible because I can read the agony that people go through with things. Your mind's dominated by the wrong thoughts and stuff, and it don't lead you to happiness. You ain't have no joy. The third time, boy spoke to me the third time again, but this time it said, your heart's perfect before me. Look at your heart. You love me with all your heart. And I finally looked at the real me on the inside, and I thought, my God, I do love God with all my heart. I do. And then that voice said to me, quit judging yourself after the flesh. He said, I don't judge you after the flesh. I judge you after the Spirit. Well, I knew the Scripture said that. God doesn't judge. Remember concerning David? He said he doesn't. When David's older brother was brought before Samuel, and look, oh man, this big guy and all this. Says God doesn't judge by outward appearance. This is what the Spirit said. Because Samuel thought, surely this is the guy who's going to be king. He said, I don't judge after the Spirit. I judge after the heart. Well, I knew that when he said that. And the Lord told me, he said, I don't judge you after the flesh. I judge you after the heart. So you don't. You see, that's what I was doing as a Christian. That's why Paul wrote what he wrote here to these believers. He's not judging them after the flesh. They've done things wrong, but he's not judging them. God's not judging them after the flesh. He's judging them according to their heart. He's saying, this is what you are spiritually. So you might be doing this dumb stuff out here, but this is what you really are. You need to get in contact with who you really are. This is what you really are. You're spiritual. You're not carnal. You know, you're not living by the flesh. You live by the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. You're not following the things of the flesh. You're following the things of the Spirit. To get them over to, this is who you really are. This is what you are. And that's what God, see, when I got over there and thinking wrong, what it did is the flesh became dominant. The thoughts of the flesh became dominant. And I was no longer hearing my inner man. As soon as I heard what was going on in the inside, it changed everything. And man, from that time on, man, it was totally different for me after that. That revelation that God brought to me at that time changed the way I thought. When people would come along and say, oh, no, you need to follow after our religious stuff. Oh, you're following that stuff out there, that confession and that kind of stuff. That's not right, that confession, that name it and claim it. And I was thinking, man, that's what God's doing. Name it and claim it is yours. Get into it. What the Bible says you are, that's what you are. You start saying it. You start saying what your heart is saying, not what people are saying around you. And that's when I knew that was right. That's the right thing to do. Don't talk your fears. See, I was over talking all my fears, all my... That's the junk I talked. And that shut off me from hearing. It wasn't because I was a fleshly person. The real me, the real Ed Gibson, wasn't a fleshly person. He was spiritual. I wasn't letting the real me do all the talking. I was letting my flesh do all the talking. I was letting my flesh yield it, my mind yield it to my flesh, do the speaking. And what did it do? It kept leading me into condemnation and condemnation and condemnation. That's what I was doing. And see, a perfect example is I came boldly to the throne of grace. I came to God. And what he said, there's grace to help in time of need. That's what he did to me that night. He gave me the grace to overcome. He gave me the revelation that night, by his grace, of who I was and what I wasn't. And it changed me. And you know what I found out? That sin no longer had power over me. The things that I was dominating me no longer had the power over me. That power was killed. Why? By the Spirit. That's how it got killed. It got killed by the Spirit, not by me following regulations. I wasn't winning on the regulation side. It wasn't winning nothing. And it did. So I want to, you know, just encourage you and anybody that listens to this. I want to encourage people because I believe if you understand Romans 8 in right, it is a huge area to help you overcome, to have victory. There's no condemnation. Why would he start speaking there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus if these scriptures were supposed to condemn you if you've missed it in the flesh? He's trying to tell them, the difference between them and the world, and the fact that they can overcome, that they don't have to live under condemnation, that sin doesn't have to dominate them anymore. If you want to maintain your joy, if you understand these things, you can maintain your joy. If you can miss the mark and maintain your joy, you'll learn easily how to go through difficult times with dealing with situations and maintain your joy. Because one of the worst things to have to deal with is condemnation. When a person lives under condemnation and thinks condemnation and thinks, you know, on the bad side, and, oh, I've blown it, I've missed it, and you think over on that side, that's a terrible place. I mean, I don't think there's a harder battle to fight if you don't know how to fight that battle. I think because, you know, out here dealing with other kinds of temptations or other things happen or you're facing, like to me, the condemnation issue is worse than trying to deal with sickness and disease. It's terrible because you can't deal with sickness and disease if you're living under condemnation. That condemnation stuff's a killer. It'll lead you to sickness and disease. It'll lead you over into areas. If your mind ain't thinking right, man, it messes all kinds of things up in your life. It does. I feel bad when people's minds ain't working right. That's a terrible place to be because where your mind's at, whether it's true, did you ever meet somebody that's in a situation and what the situation that they're in is not really true, but they think it is? Well, what is it? Is it any less painful for them? Is it any less? No. It's no less. It's real to them. And if it's real to them, they're putting up with all the pain of it. Even though it's not true, it don't matter. And I mean, people put out on all different levels, people do that. You know, people get over and think sometimes the things of another person, you know, tried to do them wrong and the person never tried to do them wrong, but they're thinking wrong about it. Nothing, person never did nothing bad to them, but they think it is. They live over, they get over in those areas and their mind starts running over in areas and they think about it. And after a while, you know, nobody likes me. You know, you get over in those areas, yet there isn't one person's against them. Nobody's thinking against them, but they believe it are. They believe it. And so what happened? Yeah, it's painful. See, the lies come and those lies believe. And if you can't get over to the inner man and hear what it's saying, I don't know if there's any comfort. Can you find comfort? I don't think you can. You can go sit in a psychiatrist and he might tell you some happy thought things. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to have to be by the inside, not by the outside. Because that's where the peace and the joy and all that stuff is. That's where that stuff's at. And see, when I can come over and hook into that, man, that is the power to sustain me. I can go, even if somebody is against me, I can be sustained and not have to be in the battle with them. I don't have to stay in the battle with them. I don't have to fight them. I can turn around and there's a power that inside of me that can sustain me and help me. Because if I can hear that, then I can keep those thoughts in my mind. And that's the thoughts you want to keep in your mind, for sure. Hallelujah. So we'll end with that. Today, let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for taking the time to show us these things and to reveal these things to us. And Father, I truly thank you for the words that you had the Apostle Paul pen, that there's now therefore no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. And I want to thank you, Father God, Lord God, for delivering us from living under the weight of condemnation, where sin held us bound, Lord God, and we couldn't live free and we couldn't overcome. But I want to thank you, Father God, that you made us into spiritual people and not carnal people. And Lord God, I want to thank you that we're dominated today. And Lord God, we're here today. We're looking into your word because, Lord God, we're not dominated by the flesh. But Lord God, our hearts are crying out and looking to heaven to learn more about what heaven says and what heaven's doing. Father God, Father, we're not going to live by the regulations of men, but we're going to live by the love of God. And we thank you, Father God, for what you've given us through Christ Jesus, the wonderful redemption that we have. And Father God, I thank you, Lord God, you made our joy full. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.